Hello and welcome to the Sotoxipod.
That is short for Socially Intoxicated Awareness Podcast, in case you were confused by us changing the name on Spotify and all the
as
other
as it is
platforms.
Officially changed now. So yeah, everybody welcome, and I'm sorry if that was terrible guitar recording. Thank you for sitting through those first 30 seconds.
It was a bit weird, kind of just setting the meeting up. The recording did feel a bit weird. It was a bit crackly, but shit happens.
Shit happens. That's okay. Toby, on your end, you had issues too setting this up.
So. Don't we all have issues? Hey, it's not my fault. My PC dies every couple of hours.
It's fair enough. Fair enough. Thank you to Windows and Bill Gates for automatic updates, I guess.
Yeah, it's an old piece of technology. I got to really get a new one.
So, Toby, how was your weekend? How about we start with that?
My weekend was actually really, really good. I had a great time. I mean, you were part of most of it, so I guess it all started on Thursday, where I owed my parents like a big kind of homemade dinner, because like a few months ago I tried to do something in the kitchen when I was visiting while still studying somewhere else, and I managed to spray some hot oil from frying something onto the ceiling, so they had to repaint it. So I owed them something, so I had to cook her like a real big dinner on Thursday. But that was a lot of fun, you know, just kind of exploring culinarily. I made pastas and cannellonis, and I spent ages making grapefruit molasses, which was fun, or very nice to eat. Not fun to make. It's just a bunch of sugar and a bunch of grapefruit juice, and then you stir it occasionally. And then on Friday we went out. We went out to a bar in Bonn, and that was quite fun.
Honestly, until you just said it, I had forgotten it. Yeah. We went out. We went to a bar.
Yeah, that was great. We went to the Limes, or the Limes, a local bar.
To our stomping ground.
Exactly, in Bonn. And I was very excited because you brought up, back in the day, they used to have a thing called like a world journey, you know, Weltreise in German, where you get a stamp card and you'd get 10 different beers from 10 different countries and you'd pay $25 for it, I think. Very fun. And we went in there and we asked, hey, do you still have them? They're like, no, we don't quite have the selection anymore due to COVID. But they had, what did we end up on 7? And
I
we
think,
could just
yeah.
do our own.
Yeah, we ended
journey.
Up going through the menu and found 7 beers from 7 different countries. If you say Bavaria is its own country, which they pretend to be, so.
Someone wants to be, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And we all, if you count shots, we had Mexico as well. So,
yep.
We had plenty of shots called Mexicans.
Oh, no, fuck that.
Not actually, yeah, different shot. Anyway, on Saturday, we then had a party at my place. A little bit, like a family gathering kind of thing. And that started by me hammering in the nozzle to the keg, right? Opening the keg. And it started in Scott fashion. I don't think you were there yet, but what happened was I hammered the one in and it was towed way too loaded. So it sprang back out and there was a fountain of champagne, of beer dripping out. I'm still drunk from yesterday. Excuse me. I guess it is intoxicated podcast time. And then for the next hour or so, there was just beer dripping from the umbrella over me, onto me. So there was just so much beer on the umbrella. So that was a good start. And we had a nice grilling event, of which I hate hosting them, I have to say, because I don't have time to eat when I grill and, kind of given drinks out at the beginning to all guests. I was completely smashed at like 7 p.m. We started at 4, to be fair.
Yeah. I did feel a bit sorry for you. At some point, Scott just comes up to me. He's like, hey, I got these nice pieces of meat for us. Just a shame I'm not going to be able to eat them. I go, yeah, all right. And I make him a plate. And he told me that today, he's like, yeah, that's the only thing he ate that night.
It's the
only
thing.
Imagine throwing like a barbecue party and eating essentially nothing yourself. It's kind of sad. It's the hostess. Curse. Yeah, the host's kind of curse.
Yep. And I made amazing guac, which was the best guac I've ever made. And I wasn't able to have any of it. At some point, I remembered it and looked inside and the bowl was empty. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I will say the guac was kind of good. I had some of it.
Oh, I appreciate that.
It was very nice. You put a good amount of chili in it, which I appreciated, because I figured I saw the chili and I was like, okay, if Scott made this, it's probably going to be a bit too strong for my taste. But no, you were spot on there.
I, funnily enough, didn't really spice it myself. I used one of the pre-made ones that worked out really well, but it was that spice mix was actually for 2 avocados and we used 3, so it worked out really well. And I added way more tomatoes than the recipe told me to, which I think was a good touch.
Yeah, probably.
Yep. So for anyone who hasn't made guac, this is the show.
Oh man, it was such a good night yesterday, you know, because you know, by this point, you know, I've gone out a few times, I've seen a few people, but you know, it was like my family went and your family obviously hosted and a few other people who had met like tangentially, and you know, it's nice to kind of, you know, see the adult side of it, see that kind of like the older generation is also having a good time again and kind of being able to relax, especially, you know, with my parents are still quite, you know, quite sensitive towards the whole COVID situation. So it's nice to see them being able to go outside and have a good time with their friends, you know.
Yeah, some socializing. It was nice. It was a good vibe. And COVID, it didn't seem came up once for the whole evening, really, honestly. Usually that's a huge talking point, but I don't know. I wasn't talking about COVID at all that whole evening. Kind of forgot about it. So that was nice.
Yeah, it was really good. And you know, well, for me, COVID did come up every now and again. It was never like a, it was never in like a negative way. It was always kind of looking towards the future, which is,
Still.
you know, quite positive. Yeah, but you know, like looking at the end of the tunnel, if it doesn't kill you.
It'll make you stronger, Kelly Clarkson. So then today we were going to prepare to extensively cover the Formula One race on this podcast.
Isn't much to cover though.
Honestly, like at one point the commentator said, "Oh my God, I just remembered. I need to write a 1,500 word article for Sky Sports about this race." And he didn't know what to really write. So that was like half of the commentary. The reason why they were talking about this is because the Spa Grand Prix, the one in Belgium, it essentially got rained out, and it had a what, 3 hour 17 minute delay, I believe,
Yeah,
of it
in
starting with
insane
us.
amounts of time.
Yeah. So the drivers, I really like have to feel for them because essentially they were sitting around for 3 hours, not sure if they were going to race or not. And I'm sure there's a mindset involved where you really got to focus of potentially racing again. But maybe you finished because I don't even know what happened post 6:30. I didn't check on it anymore.
So 6:17. They restarted the race, did 2 laps in the rain, which was the minimum thing required to call it a race. They came back in the pits, called the session off again, but kept the time going. And then pretty much they were just waiting for it to, you know, yeah, waiting for the clock to tick down until they could say, no, we're not doing it anymore.
What was the, I mean, the rule book was crazy. I learned so many Formula One rules about delaying due to weather and all these random clauses. Like in Spa, that you're only allowed to race till six, but somehow they were able to extend it because of some other regulation, which I didn't quite understand. But apparently, Spa has a deadline of 6 p.m. You have to be finished for Formula One. I don't know if that's
Well,
slots or.
it's a 3 hour window that the Formula One gets for their broadcast, right? Or for their entire kind of structure to finish, you know, everything they have planned on a Sunday. And essentially the way they got around that is by saying, well, we're calling it off. It's not happening, but we're still gonna be here. And then at a certain point, you know, the 3 hours stop, we're calling it at 1 hour, and we're just gonna stop it until we start it again. And
So
then
they
we have an hour
suspended it like
left.
three times.
Yeah, it was a weird kind of, yeah, kind of a bit of like a God move of them going like, yeah, I'll do whatever I want, you
What
know,
are you going to do?
spiritually.
Someone else is going to race in the rain? Sure.
Exactly.
Fine.
No, but it was good times.
So, 2 laps were driven.
Yeah, behind the safety car, mind you.
So, like, not a typical launch start from the grid out of the pit, which was even weirder to see that everybody started in the pit and just followed the safety car essentially for 2 laps, and then everybody went back in, same positions. And is that what it finished then?
Yeah,
So
that's what it finished as, yeah.
good for George, I guess. George Russell was
Man, good for George. I was watching an interview with him afterwards, and they were saying, yeah, it's not every day that you get that you know get a reward for qualifying well necessarily, because you can qualify wherever you want. You have a shit race, you get unlucky, blah blah blah, whatever. You still finish outside the points, but not today, not today.
the thing is, though, what's kind of sad for him is it doesn't have as big of an effect in the Drivers' Championship
No,
for
it's
him.
half points.
Because if you complete more than 2 laps or at least 2 laps plus and less than 75% of all laps, then it's half points essentially, I guess, in the rules.
Yeah.
And, that kind of sucks because what's second place? 18 points?
Second place is usually 18 points, yes.
So yeah, he'd only get 9, which really sucks, which is more than Hamilton. But again, yeah, there's not much that it changes in the race because the margins are halved, essentially.
Yeah.
Although, what does it do for the Drivers' Championship?
Nothing substantial, actually. Verstappen reduced his lead, reduced his, what's it called? He reduced Hamilton's lead. Down to 3 points now. George Russell overtook Latifi, his teammate in the constructor in the Drivers' Championship now, which is nice. Other than that, Ricciardo finished fourth, so he might have moved up somewhere, with both the Ferraris finishing outside of the points. Vettel finished fifth, so he might have gotten a few points in there.
Verstappen overtook Hamilton.
No, he didn't. He should be down
212 to 210. That's the current after today. Yeah, because he was 4 points behind going in. So
no,
he was
8 points behind going in.
I thought four. That's where our difference would
let's look it up right now, live on the air. I'm here on I'm on the official F1 Formula One website, and there it says Lewis Hamilton in one with 202.5 points, and then Max Verstappen in two in second place with 199.5 points.
I see why they didn't have it here for the last race to include it, because Hamilton has 210 on mine.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kika, shout out to Kika. Your Formula One thing sucks. Another funny thing about this rain delay actually today, this was another thing I thought was really interesting. In the opening formation lap, it was so wet that Sergio Perez, the second Red Bull driver, he went out and like really damaged his car pretty badly. Like, I think the whole front was messed up, essentially.
Yeah, they had to do a big repair job.
And because Spa is so well known for great like road assistant service at the track, they're really quick at getting cars back in. And after, I think, 30 minutes of it being suspended, the Red Bull team started working on the car again and trying to fix it if they could potentially start him again in that race, although they had initially said, okay, because of the crash, you're out. But the race hadn't really started yet, so it wasn't really clear what was going to happen. And he ended up starting. And I mean, he started last then, but you know, he technically finished, which I guess is cool.
This was, fun fact I heard in the commentary, this was the 11th race of Formula One in history that didn't have anyone crash out.
Wow.
That didn't have, or
just
not
on
crash
a technicality.
Out, that didn't have anyone not finish the race. Which is insane, considering it was a race that was in Spa and in the wet. You know?
A race it should have been chaotic.
A combination that usually results in quite a few drivers not finishing.
Especially the way the track is laid out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we had a crash in the formation lap. So technically, that's an incorrect fact you're saying there. But I guess it wasn't in the race, so that's... It's a whole other point there then.
Yeah, but it was a... God. Man, I was meeting some friends to say goodbye before Japan today in Maastricht. And I started watching the race there at 3 and I finished it in Germany at like 7. You know, so it was just insane. Happened though.
Did they pull out the podium and like give people the trophies and stuff?
Yeah, they had a full podium run. Went out, sprayed some, sprayed some nice champagne on everyone.
Oh my God. Insane. And the fans stayed the whole time too. I want to point that out.
Yeah,
which is really interesting.
For a very, very long time.
So I saw something about the next race actually. And as far as I'm aware, it's in the Netherlands, right?
Yeah, Zandvoort.
That hasn't been in there for a while, correct?
Nope,
that is the first time?
First time, yep.
First time ever. So this is interesting because Max Verstappen usually calls Spa his home race, but he's Dutch. So because Spa is very close to the Netherlands, and now he has two home races in a row. Is that kind of what it was? Or
yeah, sort of.
The turnout's going to be crazier than in Spa. In Spa, we went there 3 years ago, or three years
2018.
ago. 2018. Yeah, we went there, and it was all orange, essentially all Red Bull fans. I mean, now orange is McLaren, but it was like Dutch pride.
Yes, the Dutch fans, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see that two weekends in a row, and they'll probably top it.
Yeah, Zandvoort is going to be insane, man. The Dutch fans are fantastic. They really turn out for their athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see. Just kind of the general chaos.
Absolutely.
I was talking to someone not too long ago, who was saying, yeah, my son was contacted me, was like, hey dad, I might be able to get us some tickets for the Dutch Grand Prix, and but they're recommending no one take their cars there. They're recommending people take a train to, like, not even in Zandvoort, take a train to outside of Zandvoort and then walk the rest.
Why?
And he was like, yeah, because it's so many people expected there. They're
Jesus.
expecting it to be such a chaos, you know?
Have to go 2 days beforehand, make it a weekend trip.
Probably, fucking probably, man. You probably got to live there like for
Just
a week
party 2 days,
before.
just party 2 days, and then, it'll be okay.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard it done before of people traveling to a Grand Prix a week before, living there for a week, going there and then kind of, turning it into like a proper holiday. My grandparents were
Tailgating.
telling me a story of how they did that actually in Zandvoort, but not for a Formula One back in ages ago. And they went there like a few nights early, got like a hotel for a few nights, slept one night in the car just to kind of make it there on time and to have everything chill and these sort of things, you know? And I wouldn't be surprised if the Dutch fans do it. It's been so long since they've had this big of a kind of Formula One racing event with this big of a name.
Absolutely.
You know, if Max Verstappen wins in Zandvoort, it's going to
Holy
be
shit.
insane.
Rioting. Rioting.
And if Hamilton kicks him out during the race or something like that happens, like it did
Oh.
in Hungary or
Silverstone?
in Silverstone, that's going to be insane as well.
Dude, he does not want to do that. Like, no one will care if it was Verstappen's fault. Like, if Hamilton is involved in Verstappen going out, I predict a riot.
Yeah, it'll not end well.
Oh my God. Oh, so what else happened this week? I have an interesting thing to talk about. We rarely talk about soccer or football.
Yeah, let's go.
I mean, we talked a bit about the Euros, although for most of the Euros we were on our break. But congratulations to Italy again. They won the Euros. Blah blah blah. Who cares? Germany didn't do that good. Last week, we are currently in a transfer window. Between the season ending and starting again, or having briefly recently restarted. And the funny thing is that this has been probably coming out of COVID, been probably the craziest transfer window in a really long time. So, as I'm sure you will remember, a few years ago, I think in 2018, Neymar went from Barcelona to Paris for a record transfer fee of 222 million. In that same window, they also got Mbappe on a loan to buy option and bought him the next summer for 180 million. So, like, that was one of the craziest recent transfer windows. And since then, it's kind of, everything's been inflated price-wise, but there hasn't been that much crazy stuff going on. So, who are two of the very biggest players right now in the world? Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Both players in this transfer window have switched teams. And they have Messi has left Barcelona, which is a big deal, and we don't need to cover that because everybody already knows it. And they couldn't afford him. They fucked up their finances. The board sucks. Barcelona is a terribly run club that has a huge amount of debt and can't afford Messi's salary at all. Because even at a $1 salary, they wouldn't be able to afford him. Financial fair play rules. Cool. So he went to Paris because they have the money to afford him. Awesome. So Paris is a big team now, but. On Friday, this happened. Cristiano Ronaldo also switched teams, and he currently plays for you or did play for Juventus Turin in Italy, and prior to that, in Real Madrid. And prior to that, where his career really started, he played at Manchester United. And there, over the years, there were always rumors that he wanted to go back to Manchester eventually. And on Friday morning, I woke up and I'm just scrolling through Instagram, and I see Cristiano Ronaldo is linked to Manchester City. The arch rivals of where he essentially built his first, like, his career basis. I don't know, like, where he really kicked it off. And it got closer and closer, and like every hour there's more reports coming out. It's insane, like, how quick reporters get something out and like rumors spread around. So it was Manchester City, Manchester City. They both agreed. Then it comes out Ronaldo chose Man City over Manchester United. And like 2 hours later, Ronaldo had signed for Manchester United. So he's now officially in the Premier League again, playing for Manchester United, kind of bringing a full circle to his career a little bit in that sense. And he is 36 years old, and it's insane. So that was a really interesting Friday to follow, because depending what time you were on Instagram, if you were only on Instagram once on that day or on the internet, you will only have seen either or and thought, oh my God, either way, but with a totally different backdrop.
I only remember seeing a screen cap of the Manchester United Instagram account going, "Welcome home." And I remember seeing that and going, interesting. That'll
Interesting.
probably ruffle some people's heads wrong. That'll probably lead to some controversy.
Someone's going to be mad about that. But that is also, that post is now the most liked team sports photo in Instagram history. It
Wow, because I
hit.
remember talking to you about the Messi effect, where as soon as he signed for PSG, their account suddenly had like 4 million more followers or something like that.
Okay. Crazier fact. With the Ronaldo transfer, there's a funny, not social media related, but actual money related factoid there. So the day after, or the day that Ronaldo switched, they made the announcement, Manchester's stock rose 8%. Like, that's 250 million pounds. It's crazy. It's insane. They, like, I don't know, that's pretty big. Some
Yeah,
insider
of
trading
course.
could have gone on there.
I was going to say, man, anyone who knew he was changing before, who?
Oh,
You better can prove how long you've had that stock.
yeah. And this isn't the first time that people have analyzed Ronaldo and stock effects, because during the Euros, there was a famous press conference where he, there was like, they always have drink sponsorships, and those drinks are lined up at press conferences around the microphone. And Coca-Cola was a huge sponsor of the Euros. Yeah, so he sits down, and then the first thing he does is he grabs all the Coke bottles and moves them back from the table, doesn't let them be viewed, and just says, "Coke is bad for you," before he places it away. And then he holds up water and says, "Drink water," and then he puts the water bottle down and leaves it there after he leaves. That affected Coke's stock, went down 4% after that. You know, I'm not saying it was causation, but like, there's probably definitely some causation to it. Yeah, so very big week in the soccer world as well.
Yes, man, speaking of insider trading, that's a big thing in Formula One right now as well, because Toto Wolff, Lawrence Stroll, and a few other people are being investigated for insider trading with Aston Martin stock.
Really?
So fun times all around.
Aston Martin, the general company Aston Martin, or related to F1 insider trading, or what?
Well, I figure it has to do with the Formula One insider trading where, they were rebranding Racing Point into Aston Martin and they're getting a lot of funding and new headquarters and these sort of things. And Toto Wolff, Lawrence Stroll were obviously instrumental to that and providing buyers, providing funding, these sort of things. So I figure that's probably what it's on.
Interesting.
I haven't read too much into it, but it's interesting to kind of see that as there.
I mean,
And
Lawrence
yeah.
Stroll definitely seems like the dude that would do insider trading based off of his appearances as like a total villain, honestly,
Yeah,
in
Darth Vader-ish.
Drive to Survive, the Netflix series. They really portray him as such.
What a fun way. I'm so certain that he wanted to be portrayed like that, you know?
Yeah,
He's
100%.
he says the like, "Oh, you have me for this many minutes" line too often, you know, of like, "Yeah, my time is super precious. Here's a chunk of my time. Do with it what you must. Yeah, you are in
Also,
charge. If you disappoint me, you know, like super Darth Vader-y, like."
his first appearance in the first season, he goes in and they have interviews, and that interview is essentially running in the background over a video of him walking into the room and just talking to people, where you also hear that 30-minute line the first time. And he's just saying, "Yeah, I'm Lawrence Stroll. I'm a bad guy. People don't usually like me." Like, this is, he's introducing himself to the viewer. He leaves that impression. So 100%, it's on him. It's on him. I mean, I guess it's kind of cool, but at the same time, it's criminal.
I don't think much is going to come from it. Formula One is a too incestuous kind of world. It's too hard to not know something and too hard to be involved in something like this for this to really make an impact. I mean, remember a few years when the Panama Papers came out and, like a good chunk of the Formula One world were all on it and no one cared.
Well, but that was more due to no one doing anything with the papers. No one prosecuted, right? It was like people saw it, were like, "Oh my God, Bono actually sucks." And that was like it. It's like, okay.
Yeah, and I just think that's what's going to happen again. Something is going to come of it, and then people are going to go, "Oh, well, okay." And then,
But if you're getting investigated, it's already by a prosecuting person, potentially.
So, Potentially.
but it
Yeah.
could, it'll probably end in a settlement.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get my I'm not gonna get riled up over this thinking, it's gonna change anything.
Oh, but Formula One is also known to be a corrupt sport, so it's
Yeah.
not really surprising either. Like
Yeah.
fans know there's a lot of shady shit going on.
Like the FIA having never had an or rarely doing public procedures for anything.
There's a lot of crooked stuff, and like, oh well. So today, we confirmed with Cigar Club for our viewership, just to say that they will be on next week, and we will be talking about their new album that they released a week or two ago, a couple weeks ago, I think. And absolutely something that you should tune in for. We're hoping to get it together that they'll be playing one of their new songs off the album, and
Oh,
we're
are
very
they going
much
to play
looking
the
forward to
intermission
it.
song?
The intermission song, yeah, maybe. If that's the only one they can do due to technical issues, I don't know. We'll see.
That'd be pretty good. Actually, that'd be a good joke. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, see how they react. Maybe they won't ever be guests again. Oh man. Anyway, yeah, Cigar Club's coming next week, so tune in for that for sure.
No, they were nice people. I hope they're doing well personally. Their new music's fun. And yeah,
No,
it was
definitely
very
an
good
album
talking
worth
to them.
checking out. It'll be interesting to ask them about the structure of the songs, why they chose it that way, kind of because it seems like the album definitely tells a story, but we'll get into that next week. It's definitely songs are dependent on each other. Oh, speaking of music, totally going elsewhere now. Kanye West filed for his name to be officially changed when he gets a court date to Ye. It'll be not Kanye West, it'll just be Ye. So Y-E. That's it.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, wow. That makes me think of Prince, to be honest, or the artist. Is he going to be the artist formerly known as Yee at some point?
That would be hilarious. That would ye
Yeah.
hilarious.
Oh, that would be, oh God. I don't want to
That's going to be a thing.
recreate
Well, he
that song.
released he finally released his next or his new album right now.
Yeah.
He's been announcing it forever and ever, and well, it finally dropped. I'm not really big into his music, so I have not listened to it. But I just thought, because I just scrolled through the track list, was insane. Most albums run 45 to or yeah, 40 minutes to an hour about, and have about 10 to 15 tracks usually,
Yeah.
something like that, depending on the artist and how long each song is, obviously. This is an album that has 27 songs and it goes 1 hour and 48 minutes. So it's like insane. It's like really long.
That is
That's
honestly, who's
also
is it
something where I
meant to
was
be
like,
consumed
nope.
in one go?
Yes, I guess. I don't know.
That'd be quite interesting, when you create something like such a long kind of form of something that's usually a bit shorter, do you expect it to be consumed in the same way?
Well, I know of other double LPs that are meant like our concept albums, like The Wall, for example, by Pink Floyd. But I don't think it's 1 hour and 48 minutes, to be honest. But let me quickly check that.
Yeah, in general, I feel creating albums and versus like singles or versus publishing things from an album as singles, it must be quite a tightrope, when you're designing and you're really getting into it. Like, will I design this as one piece of media? Will I design this as one continuous, thing to be consumed? Or do I want it to be like individual bites of something that make up a greater part of themselves in the end, but are ultimately designed to be individual?
It's a tough thing to think about, and it's also something that often plays a big role in how you end up ordering each track, like the order of
The
each track. Yeah, I
order of
can't
the
think of
tracks,
the,
yeah.
I can't think of the track list, I guess. Okay, the wall is 1 hour, 20 minutes and has 26 songs. So that's meant to be in one sitting. And there's often like rock operas or something like that that are musicals then essentially. And they then go around an hour and a half. But coming back to things where artists often trip up because they overthink it. They often overthink that question. And it's been documented that also what artists will do before releasing, they'll have like listening parties. And Kanye West had a few with fans as well. And in the past, he's been known to switch up his edits and stuff and change the songs, like the mastering of it as well. Based off feedback or influenced by feedback from the listening parties and stuff and how it turned out and for his own view. And often those parts people have heard both versions and then I guess it's opinions, but that can really affect it or like the track list as well, because you want to tell a story all the way through, but you also want to make each part of the story really good and like an awesome chapter. But it's tough to have your own story or your own chapter without basing on other chapters. So if you listen to them in a different order, that's then tough to do. That would be awesome. An album you can play shuffle and it'll always have the same meaning.
Yeah, that must be
That
quite
would be
tough.
crazy.
That's like writing a book that always has the same meaning if you read the chapters in a unique order.
If you read it backwards, it has to have the exact same like meaning, story, and everything. That's really tough. That means you have to start in war and continue all the way throughout the war. And the war just continues in the last one as well.
Oh,
there's no beginning or end to the war. It's just
you mean
war.
America?
Essentially. There's a great NGO actually that's called Leave No One Behind, and they operate mostly in Europe. Speaking of America and war and failing to evacuate in a safe manner from Afghanistan. They're called Leave No One Behind, and they have a well-documented case right now how they managed to charter some planes and correspond with the US government because the German government was not allowing them to essentially bring planes over. They weren't going to help them or assist them. And because the German policies on helping the evacuation have been, well,
Lacking.
a little, lacking. It's terrible though. But Leave No One Behind, they have this well-documented case, and now they finally posted that they were able to bring in like a bunch of planes and help a lot of people that have now been taken out and are the documentation started for them to immigrate elsewhere, and it was with help of the US military. So that was actually a really nice story to hear, and it was really sad that they had to go up to that length to be able to help in terms of, hey, I want to pay for a plane to fly over. Hey, let's do it. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. But I think they said they've already noted that like 182 people or so, or something along those lines, have been evacuated and helped, and also with where to immigrate, not just like taken over the border and dumped there, but proper assistance, which is really cool to hear.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't understand part of the, or I don't understand most of the kind of abandonment that is going on there. I'm all for kind of pulling out, but come on, either leave something behind or take people who deserve it with you. But well,
Yeah, it's tough to share your thoughts on this, though. Huh?
I don't have a I have an opinion, but I don't have a an informed opinion. Is the thing. I know as much as anyone who's been watching the news recently, so I'm
And
not that
that is
kind
responsible podcasting. You don't spread fake news.
of.
Flap on the back.
Well, wait till we finish the
Fuck
episode.
Donald Trump.
Who knows where? Well, that's just a fact.
Oh,
Yeah.
that is a funny story,
I mean,
actually,
yes,
something we
but.
can bring up. We could when we're talking to the Lushes again, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So one thing we definitely have to ask them is what they think of their governor, Ron DeSantis. He has been an uprising face in the Republican Party and from a GOP perspective. He again is the governor for Florida right now, but he's a strong candidate, a presidential candidate to run against Biden, or at least in the primaries for 2024. So he's kind of already going for that strategically. He has taken to some extreme measures in terms of COVID policy, because COVID policies in general and how it was reacted to in the US have been very like polarized and politicized, which I don't know if we should politicize those things, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, fact is, it is politicized, and he's implemented mask banning mandates, basically that you are not allowed to require mask wearing in schools, in doctor's offices, in anything really. But he's pretty much forbidden it, and now he's been sued a few times already by like schools or like by teachers and stuff, and it's getting really, really bad. And I wonder if this is going to, because he's only done this because it's in line with Trump's policy essentially, and that's the voter base, or that he's kind of hoping for. And I'd be interested to hear the Lush's opinion on this whole unfolding story.
Yeah, it is kind of not kind of, it's very disheartening to kind of see, even after a major populist is now out of office, how we still have, and not just in the States, but probably the worst there, how we still have people kind of following that ideology and living off of the hype, essentially. Kind of using that platform to push themselves upwards.
Absolutely.
It's even worse to see that it's working.
Mask banning mandates. I just like let that sink in. Banning masks, banning something that is proven to help.
And even more importantly, banning something that should be, as that kind of side likes to argue, should be everyone's fucking choice, shouldn't it?
Yeah, right. The libertarian would be like,
Mind
yo.
you, the banning is to stop people from requiring it. But I feel it's one step
But
away
you're
from.
banning masks. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. Like this is essentially he's essentially killing people because of it. One could
It's,
make the case.
yeah, it's enabling the spread of something that, or it's enabling more spread.
It's these stupid high-level elitist politicians, man. They don't get it. I don't get it. They just make choices and they don't feel the effect of it because they're so high up that they know they're safe, which is just
They understand the by the people, not for the people.
Yep. And he's like 43, so he's gonna be around for a really long time,
Great.
sadly. So I hope he doesn't commit political suicide at some point.
Great. So one of the finally younger politicians that come into office in the States is an asshole.
There is
Fantastic.
one really good Republican. He's called Adam Kissinger, and he's like really cool. And I honestly like he's just a normal guy. Like he can talk normally, but he's like hated by most Republicans because he never liked Trump and always said that. So, you
And it's
know.
just a normal person.
Yeah, he's like just a cool dude, like nice guy. Anyway.
Yeah, I find it. I always find it funny how, as a kid growing up in Germany, I always romanticized the idea of moving to America. The general like high school experience that you get, exposed to in movies and these sort of things. It was always something romanticized, especially with the region I and we are from, being previously US occupied. There's a lot of kind of generational, well-meaning left here. And it kind of, I just feel like that has really, really become, non-existent, or that has been really suffering recently.
Agreed. Agreed. I will still say though, you like across the pond, you only hear bad shit or like really good big shit, like presidential elections and stuff. But you don't otherwise only the bad shit leaks through, and there is still plenty of good stuff going on, and the people are mostly awesome, honestly. They're cool, but there's also a lot of shitty people, and they have gotten covered more in recent times. I will say that the country hasn't gone completely to shit, as people often say, but sadly the shitty people are getting into power, man. That kind of sucks. That makes it worse. Anyway, don't lecture on American politics.
We've got very sad there.
Yeah. This is let's make it joyful. Oh, let's talk about my new. This is funny. Yeah, let's talk about something visual for a second to finish fantastic. This. Right. So I got my. I had to get my Personalausweis so it's renewed, my German ID card, and I wasn't aware that they require. Well, obviously, in retrospect, I should have figured this out. But they need a new picture of you because they only get updated like every 5 or now 10 years. So they need a new picture. Mine's like from 5 years ago. So I look different. Anyway, so I was pretty tired when I went there, and it was really early in the morning. So I hadn't showered. I'd just gotten right out of bed and gone there. And I didn't know I had to take a picture. So they had a machine there, which was dope. So I could just take it and that was fine. But then I asked her, am I allowed to smile? Because in like the American passport pictures, you can't smile. And there's a very, you have to like look really straight and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah. Well, you know, just, you know, don't like show your teeth. I'm like, okay, so don't smile. And I ended up looking like a guy who's like, if a guy is checking passports at a like going on a plane and looking for what could a terrorist look like? My picture definitely looks like it. Like, I'm staring so hardcore in the camera.
Yeah, you have no soul.
Yeah, I have
no soul in those eyes.
And I have a full beard, which is like, oh, great.
Yeah, you look
checked so much more now.
You look like a shark in that. Oh, that's nasty. Yeah, when I did mine, they had the machine as well, and they were like, yeah, you got to take your glasses off. I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to do it, but I don't look like myself without my glasses. I've worn them for the past 12 years of my life. Come on, guys. What's up?
Was that not, that wasn't the case on your old PESO?
You were on my old ID, I have it, but when I got my passport now for Japan, I had to take a new picture for that. And they asked me to take my glasses off for it. Also, that was, I still had really long hair then and a much shaggier beard. So I do look substantially different, I'd like to think, on there. So we'll see how that goes.
In retrospect, I think I should have shaved. But I look like older now on the picture just because of the beard, which is cool, I guess.
Yeah, you look a bit soulless, but it's not, you know, it looks like you still. It's not impossible to discern.
It's scary, man. I didn't know I could look that intimidating. It haunts me. Oh, man. Well, we're approaching the hour mark.
Yep. An hour, 45 minutes of conversation and 10 minutes of talking about America and getting really, really sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's about it. I'm going to go on a walk now and think about sad things.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, yeah, I guess we'll leave it off here.
Yep, caught it there. Awesome. Well, as always, good talking to you. To our audience, thanks for sticking with us. We hope you had a good week. Enjoyed some things we enjoyed or enjoyed different things. Always fun, as long as you're having fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
All right. Awesome. Bye.